Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Afterburner Al.
And we just heard a little weather. They said highs around the 80s. It's 85 now. Around the 80s.
Overachievers.
Yes.
Overachievers. Get your sunscreen, water up, hydrate.
Yes.
Because it's going to be, you're going to want to be outside
warmer.
And look at all the color teenies as they fly through the air.
They'll be pretty airplanes. Well, today we are joined by Don Ike. And Don, you're a senior meteorologist for the NTSB?
That's right, Mike. I'm a senior meteorologist with the National Transportation Safety Board. I've been with the board since 1998. And continuing to go on, and we do a lot of accident investigation, predominantly aviation, but we also work all modes. So I get stuck with marine accidents, railroad, highway, pipeline. But my main love and experience, of course, is on aviation. That's what we spend most of our time with.
Seems like weather would have a bigger impact on aviation accidents than most of the other segments that
it's
you
mentioned.
It's a prime
cause. A lot of times it's a prime factor.
Well, environmental factors, it's been averaging about 25-29% of our accidents. So it's a big fact. When we have accidents, we look at the man, the machine, the environment, and weather is around you. Look at right now, you mentioned the temperature, 85 degrees. We got a density altitude, pressure altitude considerations, wind. All those are typical all factors that we look at when we operate an aircraft. Everything is critical. And weather.
I would encourage anybody who is curious about what the NTSB does to actually download a full report and read it. They are ardently meticulous, and that's why they have specialists in each area, like yourself, who need to just hyper-focus on that area of the accident and provide the context into the greater report.
Well, I fully agree. Matter of fact, when I was back in college, that's one of the things we looked at. We looked at some of the NTSB reports. You try to learn the lesson of history, so you're not damned to repeat it. And they make excellent training. If you're a CFI out there, you can find research on, your same type of aircraft, your same type of students. Tell them about the hazards. You can't beat an NTSB report for the training issues, the hazards, and again, weather's a big part of that. And just even like little things, like in weather, adverse winds is our number one factor that causes accidents. And again, one of the reasons we want to start talking to students early, you want to consider winds, not only at takeoff and landing, but also en route. So all these little things you have to take in.
So what's your background to get into becoming an NTSB meteorologist?
Well, I'm kind of unique. I got my first degree in aeronautics from one of the leading universities in the country in aviation, Embry-Riddle. I got my basic private commercial instrument, got my aircraft dispatcher certificate, and then went into weather. I found when I was going to school that I had a flair for understanding weather, the complex nature of forecasting. I provided instruction on the flight line, teaching about 1,200 flight students a year on weather. And from there, I went on to get my degree in meteorology. And then I got hired by TWA, and I was an instructor initially teaching meteorology, regulations, and flight procedures, and got promoted to head of meteorology. And I ran Transworld Airlines meteorology meteorology support for the airline for approximately 14 years, doing worldwide weather analysis, forecasting, supporting major jet operations. And I loved it, but just got tired of the pay cuts, headcount reductions, and mergers. And I joined the National Transportation Safety Board, which was always one of my dreams. And now I'm kind of trying to make my dent on safety, analyzing and researching accidents, recreating the environment so we can find out what happened, try to make some recommendations to prevent it from happening again, and again, provide that training aid you're talking about. So, hey, people learn about the hazards of thunderstorms, why we want you to avoid 20 miles, why we want you to use that better in-flight cockpit display on weather, your ADS-B better, but know its limitations so you don't make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. That full training around. I feel comfortable in what I'm doing. I believe we're making some significant progress. But again, we still have a high accident rate. We want to reduce it and kind of keep aviation as the safest form of transportation as it is. But again, reduce those accidents.
And we should explain to everybody that you are not the National Weather Service, but you're trained in a similar manner. The National Weather Service, I think, and as far as your, I'm not going to tell you what you do, but as far as where you enter into an accident investigation, the National Weather Service is, their job is to constantly, one, forecast, but also observe, and they collect all kinds of statistics as the day marches on, hour by hour, minute by minute, whatever it is. And then an accident happens, you go in and you start pulling information that at the time of the accident. Because right. sometimes you will come upon one and everything's changed.
Boy, you got it on the mark. What we do is we recreate what was available, what the conditions were at the time. But we're going to look at, hey, what did the National Weather Service have forecast? Was it properly forecast? So we're going to look at pre-flight planning. We're going to look at what the products were. Was it properly forecast? The good news is, believe it or not, the National Weather Service does do a good job with forecasting. But every now and then, we got that human involvement, and we make mistakes. Our models aren't perfect, and that's where, again, we have potential problems, too. But Mother Nature's constantly changing, and you got to respect Mother Nature. You start talking about things like thunderstorms. Thunderstorms are going to win 9 times out of 10.
Now, you mentioned some technology aspects, and you mentioned ADS-B and how that can be a benefit. Most people think of ADS-B as, oh, it's this mandate, and I have to put this in my airplane to replace my transponder, and it's going to cost me money, and I don't want to spend money, and there's no benefit to me. But it's more than that, isn't it?
Well, we're seeing some significant improvement with ADS-B, especially with the transmission of weather data. And
so that'd be ADS-B in.
Correct.
And what all are you getting with the ADS-B in?
I can't really go into too much on the detail. I'm not the expert there.
Okay.
But I just know that what we're looking at with in cockpit weather, trying to provide better service, trying to get the information to the flight crew quicker and as accurately, depiction of the conditions. That's one of the big things that we're pushing. Increase the situational awareness,
right,
which is critical.
It's my understanding that with the ADS-B in, you can actually get radar into your aircraft without having radar on board your airplane and without a subscription to XM or Cirrus or any of these other. Is that your understanding also?
That is my understanding, and that's one of the big benefits that we're looking at. But again, we're trying to train people that there is still latency issues even on that product, and it is not a tactical decision tool. It's strategic for planning and, again, avoiding. So one of the briefings I'm doing, matter of fact, at 10 o'clock tomorrow or 10:15 at the Federal Pavilion, is talking about some recent accidents where, such as the XM satellite broadcast, some of the products that they have in the cockpit now, where pilots relied on them and made some mistakes. So we're kind of harping on some of those. But again, we're trying to make it easier, improve the products into the cockpit.
One of your former investigators, Greg Feith, presented to our college when you and I, way back when, were attending a university. And he showed us a picture of an aircraft accident, the wing. It had some snow on it. From an analysis standpoint, when you go in and you look at accident evidence from the scene, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking at everything. So if we got snow on the accident, it could be a big clue if it was there at the time of the accident and not afterwards. But it's a matter of recreating everything. And Greg Feith is a great guy. I went to school with him, matter of fact, and worked with him on several cases. One of the big ones was Little Rock, Arkansas, where, again, flight penetrated an area of severe weather and never stopped at the end. We're going to look at everything we have from, what the conditions were, try to recreate it, and again, try to find out what happened, find the clues, and hopefully make some recommendations to prevent it from happening.
And you're giving a presentation tomorrow on the field. You want to quickly tell us what you'll be talking about?
I'd love to, Al. Thank you. At the Federal Pavilion tomorrow, I'm teaching an aviation weather course on some recent accidents. It's going to look at general accident statistics and how Mother Nature comes into play. I'm going to look at several accidents from adverse winds. I've got some great animations and films to show. I actually have one aircraft accident with penetration of thunderstorms, and I have the audio to it to where you'll hear the accident in progress from before, penetration, and final words. Again, what are we trying to do? Learn the lesson. So I highly recommend, if you haven't been by the NTSB booth, please stop by. I will do a good aviation weather presentation tomorrow, and I guarantee it will teach you something that you don't know on weather, thunderstorms, how we can respect Mother Nature, make good sound decisions, and keep that education curve going. One of my loves is, again, thunderstorms, and we're going to deal with several recent GA accidents with thunderstorm penetrations and just see the power of what Mother Nature can do.
Well, that sounds like a totally awesome forum to go to tomorrow to learn a lot. I think I might have to show up there and
set aside time.
See what you have to offer us. So we have been talking to Don. I can't read my writing. Don Ike, a senior meteorologist from the NTSB. And you're listening to EAA Radio.